We're on page 4, on the right hand side on the bottom, the last paragraph on page 4. Throughout the Maamar, we've been learning to try to understand the teaching of the Tzaddikim, which we'll see more from Reb Tzaddik's Lashon in a little while. The teaching of the Tzaddikim that there's no such thing as Yayush, that there can't be Yayush by a Jew. And trying to understand what that means, because sof kol sof, there are things in life that a person is forced to let go of. And we've been talking a lot here on Shabbos this entire summer about how the story doesn't always have a good ending in this world. What happens after 120? But in this world, the story doesn't always have a good ending. And as we spoke about earlier, that halachically, there is certainly a concept of yayush when a person has an object that's valuable to him or to her, and you lose it, you drop it in the ocean, it falls into someplace where the chances are very, very unlikely that you're going to find it. The person's misyayush and gives up. And because of the circumstances of life and the difficulties of just getting by, we are forced to give up, and there is yayush. And we accept that not everything works out the best way. And as Maminim, we also believe that things can be better in the future. However, as Rav Kluger has been explaining, the fact that a person has perfect and beautiful emunah, that things can change and the mazel can become better, that doesn't necessarily mean that in the present moment that you're in, with the difficulties that you're experiencing, that you're able to go on with the Simchas Chaim, with the joy, with excitement. So the crisis is more for the firm person, for the believing person. The crisis is not so much, can Hashem change things in the future, or even, is this for the best? It certainly is for the best. And we believe Emunah Shleim is for the best. But still, in my present state, where I am, I throw up my hands and I accept Hashem's din, and we say, Lo aleinu, when somebody passes away, Baruch atah Hashem al-kan ma'acharilam, Dain ha'emes, Hashem is the true judge. And like people often say, so what am I going to do? So I accept it, and I try to move on. And in the future, Mitzvah will be better. That begrudging, broken-hearted acceptance is itself a form of yayush. It's a form of despair, of giving up. It's what Rav Kluger calls yayush bahayve, yayush in the present. Yes, I believe it'll be better in the future. I also know that the dead will come back to life. And I also know that everything that Hashem does is terrific and will work out in the future and so on. And we'll be shown the big plan and how all of this fits into the big plan. But lemaisa, I don't feel good right now. And how to use yayush, how to use yayush itself as a way of avodas Hashem, because it's inevitable that we're forced to acknowledge situations in life that we have no control over. There are things that happen that we have no control over. Even if it's not a matter of death or illness, panasa, parents try their hardest, and they're good people, and they daven, and they do all that they can. They try to send their kids to the best yeshivas and the best schools. And every day of the week, I'm talking to somebody whose child has made a different choice, who has chosen something other than the parents were hoping for and davening for. And you're powerless. You don't know what to do. There's nothing you can do. So the question is, in the way of Avodas Hashem of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, where every single thing in life is an opportunity to experience Dveikus B'Hashem, to get closer to Hashem, how can we use Yeyush? How can we use giving up, letting go, relinquishing our hold? How can we use that as a means of growing closer to Hashem? So that's what we were talking about last week, and we'll continue on the bottom of page 4. It's Davki, he says, Mitoy Chayse Kol. Davki, in the right-hand column on page 4 on the bottom, Davke mitoy chayis hakol, davka in that state of chayser kol. It's davka that Hashem has brought me to this place in my life right now where I have no power. I'm completely powerless. I have no options, and there's nothing I can do about this. And I'm chayser kol. I have nothing. Having nothing doesn't mean that a person has to be poor. It means that in this particular matzav that I am, I am in, I have no recourse. I have no way out. I have no way to change the present situation. So in that state of chayser kol, this is the choice that a person has. Loimer l'Hashem isbarach, to be able to turn to Hashem and to say, Hinini makir b'cha, I recognize you, Hashem, I acknowledge you. Ki nizgavta levadcha, vein oid melvadcha. Remember, we were talking about this at the very beginning, how a person should take every challenge in life, should try to accept a challenge in life as a chefza of ein oid melvadcha. We were talking about this 3 weeks ago, that the same way that a person is excited if he has a beautiful esrog, or if you have beautiful Shabbos candles, or if you have a beautiful sukkah, that it's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mezakeh you with this opportunity to serve him in that way. Also, when you're going through a time when Hashem has taken away all options and you have no choice other than to acknowledge that it's only you, Hashem, that is a tremendous moment for the mitzvah of believing that Ein Oid Melvadai. It's a beautiful hidden mitzvah of Ein Oid Melvadai. There is only you. The truth is, it was always that way. It's always only Hashem. But as long as I thought I had option A, B, and C, and as long as things looked like it was still possible to work out in this way or that way, so it wasn't clear to me, Ein Oid Melvadai, that there's only you. But now you've put me into a situation where I am acknowledging that there's only you. And that's a hidden mitzvah, the mitzvah of Amunah, of Ein Oid Melvadai. Ata hinini chash b'yoyser es avsiyusi v'dalusi. Now, and it could be for the first time in my life, or many years, I feel my absolute poverty, my nothingness, avsiyusi, my hopelessness, v'dalusi. Ki mi ani, umachayai, who am I, and what's my life? Vatu melech kelchai v'kai. And you, Hashem, you are Melech Kel Chai V'Kai. Really, the whole avodah of Slichus and Yom Nirayim is to come to this understanding, so that by the time Yom Kippur ends, we're able to say Shema Yisrael in a real way, to say Hashem Hu Elokim. So that's some sort of a chiddush. Every single day we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad, Baruch Hashem Kol Malchus Olam, Hashem Elokim. What's the chiddush? What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that I always said it, but I didn't really believe it 1,000%. I always felt that I always believed that there were other ways. And now I'm misyayish from everything else. And there's only one thing, there's only one truth, and that's Va'atuhu Melech Kel Chai V'Kayim. Oitzvi Hayochid. You're my only oitza, my only treasure. Miftochi Ve'emunosi B'cha. Therefore, my trust and my faith is in you. Hayosi ben la'omskul asecha, I am a Jew, asher ahavta of this nation that you love. Neitzel Avram Yitzchak Yaakov avadecha, descendant of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, your servants. Kaim shakach, and because of this, akayim mitzvah, I'm able to be mekayim mitzvahs. Adab re'lacha, to speak to you. Elmad mitarasecha, I will learn from your Torah. And Eshayin Alecha, and I will depend entirely upon you. Lulei Tiltaltani, Rabbanu Shalom Tiltala Azra Asher Kazayis. Hashem, if you wouldn't have caused the kind of upheaval in my life that you've just brought upon me, if you wouldn't have schlepped me around, if you wouldn't have brought this inyan upon me, Emasai Hayisiba L'chadei HaKaros Emes, I could have gone my whole life without ever coming to this truth, without ever recognizing this truth, Ba'ifen kol b'hir u'me'ir, in such a clear and an illuminated way. Mishabacharta l'ha'ilir likach, since you have chosen to make this clear to me, to make it clear to me that I have nothing else, only you. Mizbeach Evne b'shivrein libi. I'll build a mizbeach out of my broken heart. Instead of becoming sad, instead of being depressed, instead of losing one's simchas achayim, that yeyush can be transformed or transform the person into a mamin, and to see certain kaiches that he didn't realize that he had within himself. Etol es hamachaylel imi, I will take advantage of all that's happening in my life. Ledabroi elecha, in order to speak to you. In order to speak to you, to talk to you. V'lishayv chiyus rak mimcha levadecha, and to draw my life, my chiyus, just from you. Ki zuloscha ein oid b'chayim ha'uma, because other than you, there's nothing in my life. L'zois yikare noichem amiti l'shas hoiva. This we can define and describe as true nechama for the present moment of my life. This is the only true nechama. Really, that's what it means when you tell a person, Lo'aleinu hamokim menachem eschem b'soch shar aveleitzin v'yushalayim. Hamokim menachem eschem, there's nothing else that can be menachem you. There's nothing else that could bring you that nechama. Only hamokim menachem eschem. And this time of your life, unfortunately, that you've been brought to this, but this loss of your life, this person that you loved and this person that you depended upon, that's no longer here, so that could take away from you all of your simchas achayim, that could chalila destroy you, or you can use this time of your life as a means of cultivating that relationship with Hamakom, with Hashem's Baruch. And that's the only nechama. L'zayis yikari noichem amiti l'shas hoiveh. It's not that one day it'll be better. Someday I'll get over this. These are the thoughts that people who are going through tzaras have. That I know other people have been through this tzara, and I see that they're functioning, and I see that they even smile sometimes and they're happy. So Hashem Yisbach should help me that I should get to that time when I'll be able to be happy again. Now that's a productive and constructive way of thinking, but that's not the tachlis. The tachlis is not that one day I'll also be able to be happy. The tachlis is that right now, in this terrible feeling of emptiness and loneliness, I return to you. I come to you. I've been away for many, many years. I was depending upon this person. I was depending upon a certain feeling that I had of richness and fullness in my life, which has been taken from me. One of the most moving and personal descriptions I've ever seen written by a tzaddik about how he felt during a time of loss was found in the writings of Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, Zichron Levracha. When his Rebbetzin Tanya, when she passed away, the descriptions of emptiness and loneliness, and how Rabbi Yosher turned things around to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his Madrega, to come to Hashem Yisbarach in such a powerful way. And he said that he was crawling on his knees. He said he couldn't really daven in the hospital. I don't have it here to read to you. But the way he describes, and it's amazing how open he was. You know, the Briskers are not known for their openness, but he was extremely, extremely open about this, about how he said he felt he couldn't really daven in the hospital. He said it was sterile, it was cold, it wasn't his place, but he said that he would come back, he would say goodbye to his wife in the hospital when she was dying, and he would come back into the home, and he said he would throw himself on the floor, and he describes how he would sob and cry to Kadosh Baruch Hu and talk to him, and it's unbelievable. That any one of us who's ever been in a situation where we realize that there's no one else except Hashem who can help us, that's really the only nechama. And it's not a nechama that comes because I have people around me who are able to keep me busy. That's another way that people deal with suffering and with loneliness, obviously. Distractions, friends keeping busy, and family, and whatever else there is. There's plenty of stuff to be distracted with. That's a lost opportunity. it's a lost opportunity. Because dafke in that state of yeyush and letting go of something that is beyond your control, letting go gives you a chance to discover the amuna that you never ever really cultivated within yourself, and to develop a personal relationship with Hashem as well, which during good times is very hard to come to. Very, very hard to come to. This is a nechama for the hoveh, for the present. Not, I look forward to the day when I'll be able to be happy again, or maybe one day I'll forget, or in the future I'll get over this, or in the future Hashem will make it better for me. Okay, but that's not real nechama. Nechama means, like it says in the pasuk, Vayinochem Hashem. Vayinochem Hashem means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyochol changed his way of thinking. Whatever that means. Vayinochem Hashem al hara asher dibal asis la'amai. Vayinochem, the word nechama means on a deeper level to be able to look at things in a different way. Vayinochem Hashem al hara asher dibal asis la'amai. Or in Bereishis, Vayinochem Hashem, that Hashem kivyochol regretted creating man. And that's when Hashem brought the flood. So Vayinochem means, I looked at it, I used to look at it a certain way, at this inyan, and now I look at it differently. That's what Nechama is. Nechama can only take place when a person allows himself or herself to have a different perspective, not to be stuck in a certain perspective. And the different perspective here is that I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And whatever strength, power, authority I thought that I had, I never really had. And if I didn't believe it until now, now I know it, that everything is in Hashem's hands. That can bring a nechama to a person. That's where the nechama begins to set in. Not, it'll be good one day, or not to be kept busy, to get your mind off of your tzaras. That doesn't have to only be chalila, somebody dying. It could be whatever the tzar is. Whatever the tzar is. Yesh kan haskomas halev. The heart not only begrudgingly, the heart doesn't begrudgingly accept reality, the bitterness of reality, to say, no, what could you do? That's not a Jewish way of talking, b'chlal. No, what can you do? That's not at all the Jewish way of talking and of thinking, even though it's used all the time. That means that if I could do something, I would. But I can't do anything about this. So what choice do I have other than to accept this? There's no nechama in that. There's no chizik in that. That doesn't return to you the simchas achaim that's been missing. The only thing that can return the that can bring back the Simchas Chaim is Haskama Salev. Haskama Salev means that not that I have no choice, what could I do? It means I'm masking. The Lord Ba'efen Shachoyser Bri Revachiyas. Not because I have no choice. There's no choice and there's no chiyas. There's no life. It's not, the inyan is not, how do I get out of my matzav? Of course, if you're in a difficult matzav, you can try to get out of it, then you try to get out of it. But that's not the point anymore, how to get out of this matzav. Ulusha noisai, how can I change the matzav? The example that I gave a minute ago, about how a person or a lady who has gone through havelus wants to change that matzav by going on a vacation, by going shopping, by doing something else, a distraction. So somehow to change the matzav ruach, to change the situation. That doesn't mean that you've really changed your perspective. It doesn't mean that there's haskama salev. It only means that you try to get yourself busy with other things, not to think about the tzar. Here it's just the opposite. Ela mechapes lechyoisai ulahamigboy. You don't run away from the truth. You don't run away from the tzara, but instead you take it by its horns, And you're mamik in it. Adarava, you think deeply in this matter. You look at this tzara and you say, in all honesty, this makes it clear to me that I'm empty. That I'm empty, that I have nothing. I'm not going to delude myself. I'm not going to make believe. I'm not going to just try to be distracted and to forget about it and make myself busy, and then when I have to go to sleep and I'm at night and there's and everything is quiet and the family's not here, then I'm going to cry and lose myself, Khalil, in despair. No, adrava. Lahamik boyadei shemoytzias atzmai reik mikol. The truth is, I have nothing. The truth is, I'm reik mikol. Except zulas kirva pshuta laHashem Yisbarach. Except this, a simple closeness to Rabbi Shalom. Shehi tachlis hachaim. And as we're learning on Shabbos, sof kol sof, that's the ultimate tachlis of life, is to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tachlis of life is kirvas elokim li toiv. Kirvas elokim li toiv. That's the tachlis of life, is kirvas elokim. As long as you believe that your life was filled with something else, you didn't necessarily come to that tachlis. At this point in your life, you can come to the tachlis. And the tachlis of life is kirvas elokim. So it could be for the first time you actually talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are people who are not from it all, but when they go through, that they believe in Hashem, but they're not observant. But when they go through Lo Aleinu Tzara, they come to taste this tachlis of kirvas elokim, of feeling a dependency upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that yeyush, that letting go, has actually become an opportunity to come to one's tachlis in life. Ein yeyush klal etzel ish yehudi. And this is what the tzaddikim meant when they said, ein yeyush klal etzel ish yehudi. There is no such thing as yeyush, as despair by a Jew. Leimeloi, what were the tzaddikim telling us? Ata, right now, not that sometime in the future, ata, right now, v'soich toicha shel kaishi, in the midst of this difficulty of life, and again, it doesn't have to be a tragedy, chalila. It could be a kaishi, stop, something hard. Ata, v'soich toicha shel kaishi, bo ha'eis lahasoga ruchanis shamamish. This, the time, it means that if I'm going through a hardship, whatever that is, it means that this is a time when I can actually achieve something spiritual that's real. It's a time for me to achieve something that I haven't really worked on or thought about. You've come to a certain point in life where there's something that you're carrying and it's becoming very hard for you to carry. You're schlepping this, And you're being weighed down by it. It's crushing you. Now, how do you look at that? So the correct Jewish way of saying this, and this is what the tzaddikim are saying, that there's no yeyush, is ve'elu chevle leidas or godol shebecheecha. The davka, this pain that you're going through, can be transformed into the pain of labor, the labor pains, for some great light that is about to enter into your life, which is the light of Emunah, which is the tachlis of being in this world. Al no tishoyer kan. Don't allow yourself to stay in this place, meaning of smallness, the tirda v'chayse savlanus, just to feel, I guess tirda would be, we could translate for nowadays as stressed out, and chayse savlanus, without any patience and any tolerance, just waiting for this to finish and hoping that it'll be behind you. Don't go with that. Ki karav ata yoyse mitamid, you should know that davke, in this hardship, you're closer than ever before. Etzel miftan geulas hanefesh. You're closer to the threshold, to the doorway, to that which is called Geulas HaNefesh, redemption of one's soul. Krav ata el tachlis inyan. Draw yourself closer to the tachlis of this inyan. That the only reason that Hashem Zbar gave you this difficulty is because He wants to be close to you. And He's calling out to you. And you're not coming to Him any other way. So krav ata el tachlis inyan. Instead of running away, instead of avoiding this, instead of falling apart, krav ata el tachlis inyan. Draw yourself closer to the tachlis of this whole inyan, which is what? Lahaviyachal Hashem Yisbarach, to bring you closer to Hashem Yisbarach, mitoich hayidia hagedayla, through this great understanding that you've always believed in, but you haven't really lived with, which is she'ein oid melvadai. Ein oid melvadai. There is nothing, only Him. Rabim nisyonis achayim. There are many nisyonis in life, the gashmis of ruchnis, physical nisyonis, in physical things, and ruchnis, in spiritual things. U'milyardei b'nei odam mismaydedim behem. And millions of people are struggling with all of these nisyonis of life. Ach yokru b'nei am segula. But how precious and how fortunate are we as Hashem's people, shemlevad oiz emunosam b'shuas Hashem kehef ayin. Besides the fact that we believe that in a moment Hashem could change everything, v'yicholtoi lechalitz kol matzav, and that Hashem Yisbarach can take us out of any matzav that we're in, ulhayirai, and to illuminate that matzav. But besides that belief that we have a special thing going with Hashem, and that this could all change in a moment. Yesh behem esakoyach lirais b'hayv akasha matnas chayim. We have something else. We have the ability to see right now, not in the coming moment when it gets better, but right now. B'hayv akasha matnas chayim. A gift of life. A matnas chayim, a gift that Hashem is giving us, Himself. He's always giving Himself to us, but we're not open to seeing that. We don't realize that. We don't see it. Ma'aseh b'mechutin, shegoel pam lefnei tzadik. It happened, there was a mechutin, somebody married off a child, and he came to the tzadik. Koshim gedoylem v'atzumim ha'ovrim alav, I mean, it's before the chasna, but Koshim gedoylem v'atzumim ha'ovrim alav l'kras ha'chasna, with tremendous, tremendous difficulties before the chasna. To be able to make that happen, to be able to afford, to be able to see it through. Heyer le'yisharashay, shall inyan v'kai amar. So the tzaddik brought this person to understand the shayrish of the inyan, the root of the inyan. V'kai amar, and he said to him the following: Harayadata ki ahoyim v'Hashem esbach shutfim hema ba'adam. Ever since we're children, we were taught the teaching of Chazal that there are three shutfim, there are three partners in each of us. A father, our mother, and Hashem Yisbarach. There are three shutfim. V'hinei oisek ato b'hanochas yisoid b'ayis chodesh. Now what do you, he says to this person who's making a chasna, now you're busy with establishing the foundation of a new home. L'shtal shlus hadoyos, so that there can be future generations. So, because there are future generations that are waiting to be brought into existence, and this chasna needs to happen, so that there will be, mitzvah Hashem, future doors of Abdei Hashem, therefore, you needed to feel the presence of the shutef, of the big shutef, Hashem is Baruch. Kadesha chelik yikari zeh yunach ke'evin yisai labayis. So dafka when a person is making his simch, you know that not always, but very, very often, making a simcha comes together a lot of aggravation. I don't know if anybody's ever had that or felt that, but very often making a simcha comes together with all kinds of aggravation. This is an Eretz Yisrael, the aggravation of being able to make the chasana. I'm not talking about in Marina Del Rey, you understand. I'm talking about just to make the simplest chasana, to be able to afford that in Eretz Yisrael. And the chasana is very kleinikai. For whatever reason, because of the society that we've created for ourselves, which I'm not going into, but then there's the issue of how to provide for the children, how to buy an apartment for the children. Half of Eretz Yisrael is dragging around New York these days, you know, and London and Toronto, trying to collect money to be able to figure out how they're going to pay for their children to have a deer. And so on and so forth, furniture and clothing, and all that goes into that. Baruch Hashem, in America, there are plenty of difficulties with that as well. But for the bare necessities of life, for the most part, things are easier here than they are in Eretz Yisrael. So here is an interesting time in life. It's wonderful, it's exciting. You're thrilled with the chasna that you've found for your daughter, or the kala that you found for your son. And you're very, very excited about the prospect of the marriage and of Einikluch and of them building a home. But together with that, there's the terrible problems of being able to afford it. Or there could be another problem of having something emotional that's in the way. Whatever it might be, the discovery that not everything is so gewaldig, let's say, by the other family as you thought it might be, or other disappointments and hardships that come with chasnas. I'm not going to go into it. Everybody knows. So you could knock your head against the wall and ask and say, Rabbi Shalom, I don't understand. You wanted this to be a simcha. You brought the chasn and kala together, and they're a beautiful couple. And we're all looking forward to the simcha. So couldn't you just take care of all this other stuff? Couldn't you take care? Why does it have to be that problems with the money and whatever difficulties are? So what he's explaining is, he's just using this as an example. What he's explaining is that Davke at that time, when there's a new family that's about to come into existence, it's crucial that the big shutaf, that the Baruch Shalom, be included in the party. The Baruch Shalom is not always included in the chasna. He's not, he's officially invited. That's not a question. He's invited to every chasna. The Baruch Shalom gets a big invitation. He's the first one we send an invitation to. But he's not often remembered at that time. It's very easy for him to be put aside. And the only shutfim that we think of are those who are actually signing the checks for the chasna. Those who are actually taking care of the chasna, as we see with our eyes. And the big shutif can be left out of the whole chasna. The big shutif can be left out of the whole chasna. In so many ways and so many levels, I'm not even going to go into how the Baruch Shalom more and more is standing outside of the wedding halls, not being invited in. First of all, I don't know how he would even go into the kind of music that they're playing at the chasna. He wouldn't bechalal step into such a place with such gaisha music. Such trash, gaisha music. That's on the most basic level. And then there are other things, the kind of dances, the kind of movements. V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. I'm not going to let all my kanos out now. But that the Rosh Hashanah would even walk into a hall like this. And then all other kinds of nisyanis that go on. When it comes with mechutanim and kleinikait and different things that happen. So Davke, when it comes time to build this new family, the Baruch Shalom is saying, you know, I would appreciate if you would allow me in, if you would let me into the chasna, if you'd make me part of the simcha. And just that's how it is. The most effective way of Hashem being allowed in is through difficulties. It doesn't have to be that way. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. That's the most effective way of him being allowed into the hall. So if all of a sudden imagine that it was the time for the big music to begin. You know how they now, you know what they do when the Chasam Kali about to walk in? They play, I wouldn't call music, they make a certain sound when the Chasam Kali are outside the doors and they're waiting to open the doors after everyone's been waiting for an hour and a half for them. And they start making sounds like you would think that Chas v'Chalila you're at the Super Bowl. Or that it's some sort of a boxing match or the Olympics. No, the Olympics are more edel than I'm always wondering what the waiters think and what they like. I don't know. Maybe by their thing. I don't know what it is. When they start, and now for the first, and the whole banging and the whole thing that goes on, the whole tumult. What would happen if all of a sudden there's a blackout, the electricity goes out? Then everybody's gonna say, "Oh, Rabbeinu Shlom, oh, Rabbeinu Shlom, where's the electricity? How could you do this to us?" The Chasna Kala just about to go in, and they start to go out now for the first time. Da 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 da. They go bum bum bum. They're playing from Rocky, whatever that movie. All these different things. And just think about how we do these things. It's insane what we've made from Yiddish chasnas. There was a guy at the chasna about last night. Now the latest you see these guys playing this kind of music. They have long payers. And this guy, I don't know. It's like the whole thing is not real. It's just not real. And imagine at that second, all of a sudden, the lights go out and electricity stops. Oh, you're going to see how in 1 second, the shutif, the Baruch Shem, can you come in to put in the plug? Can you turn on the lights? Please, Baruch Shem. And they try, and they go down into the basement with the circuit breakers, and they try this, and Gornish is helping. And then they're calling up this electrician, and Yankel, the electrician, comes running in to see what he could do, and he can't do anything. And Nebuch the Chosna Kala standing outside, waiting there, and all the girls with the hula hoops are waiting, whatever they have, their circles of fire, whatever they do over there in their shtick, and they're waiting, so Gayish things. And they're waiting for all of this stuff, and it's dark. Totally dark. It's totally dark. And you know what? It also happens to be, it's 97 degrees out and humid, and it's in Williamsburg. It's not up in the mountains. It's hot. And everybody starts to get verschwitzt. And the food is getting spoiled. And the fish on the table is starting to smell, which if it was unedible before, it's even more unedible now. Right? And where's the Baruch Shalom? What happened to the Baruch Shalom? How could he do such a thing? Imagine. Shouldn't Chalil ever happen? But imagine. What would it be? He had in the family years ago. It wasn't that. It was close. It could have been. But you remember in the summer, I don't know, maybe it's 5 years ago. You remember there was a big blackout? Mm-hmm. It might even be more than 5 years ago, but I know that something like that. So Baruch Hashem, so my niece was married the day before. Huh? It was the day before the blackout. I think it was the day before the blackout. Yeah, because Shabbos Shabbat Brachos, it took us hours and hours to get to Shabbat Brachos in New Jersey. It took us hours and hours to get to Shabbat Shabbat Brachos because of the cars and there were no lights. It was terrible, and we made the Shabbat Brachos that night after the first Shabbat Brachos after the Chasna. We were the sisters-in-law. Everybody was making the Shabbat Brachos. Was supposed to be in a restaurant in Cedarhurst, and everything was closed. All the restaurants were closed. So, and it was very warm. I don't know if you remember. It was very warm, and we had to make a Shabbat Brachos. In the end, the Shabbat Brachos was in my sister's backyard in Far Rockaway, and the neighbors brought stuff that they had. Some had this cake and this, and they had somebody had torches, and they put in the backyard torches, and it was so warm that I was even able to take off my coat for the first time in like 30 years, and to be at the Shabbat Brachos with my sons-in-law, and they were playing the guitar. It was the most beautiful Sheva Brachos I was ever at. And you can't plan such a thing. But I'll tell you what was so beautiful about it. On many levels, the feeling was that the Shutuf was here with us. It wasn't our Sheva Brachos because we couldn't make such a thing. The Baruch Shalom was the Baal Simcha, and he was at the Sheva Brachos. There was a very strong feeling like that, that you wouldn't normally feel. It would normally be in a restaurant with the waiters and the noise and everything else, and it would be nice, and someone gets up to make the usual Devei Torah. But the Devei Torah that night had a certain sweetness to them. And there was a certain closeness that was felt in the Mishpacha and the new Mishpacha. There was a certain closeness and a feeling that you have. So that funny, nice feeling really is that special sense of the presence of the Shutuf, of the Baruch Shalom. But it's hard, when the lights are on, it's very hard to feel that. When the lights go off, you could feel it more. But that's how it is in life. But he's saying, this is when you're building a family, Hashem Shabbach finds ways, kivyachol, Hashem Shabbach finds ways to get himself into the chasana. Because the home has to be built on that basis, on that foundation of the three shutfim. It's not enough the father and mother, they should be well. It's not enough to have the family. There has to be the Baruch Shalom. And therefore the Baruch Shalom has ways of getting into the chasana. Chazal tells in the Gemara that there's no such thing as a ksuba without some sort of a blemish, a problem. And it doesn't mean that there's a problem on the ksuba. The ksuba could be beautiful. It means there's no such thing as a shidduch that's perfect. There's no such thing as a chasna that's perfect. There's no such thing. We were davke at a chasna a few weeks ago. There was such an experience. The two families are families that went through difficulties, a lot of difficulties, and there's absolutely no money at all. Nothing. So I had to be there early. I was in charge of things there. And I came early. And I walk into the hall. I'm telling you this way, so. So there was one of the shuls in the neighborhood has a nice hall, and they gave the couple to use the hall. There's this big tzedekus in our neighborhood that she's in with Hachnasas Karl, and she was in charge of all of this. And I come in there, and I wasn't sure I was watching, but I saw some of the richest ladies in Lawrence setting the tables, and they were sweeping and putting out the napkins, and there were one or two of the husbands that were there also that were, you know, big, rich people. And then one of them said to me, "Hi, Rabbi, we're gonna." And I thought she was a guest, but she wasn't dressed like for a chasna, and she was working. She was carrying stuff on a tray and putting stuff out. And I didn't have what was happening over here. And then the lady that's in charge, the Tachnas Kala, came and I go to me, "Oh, Mazel Tov, Rabbi, Mazel Tov." And she said to me, "What do you think of this?" I said, "Everything is beautiful." She said, Do you see Mrs. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so?" She said to me that she sent an email that she needs 20, she could use 20 ladies, girls, ladies from the neighborhood to help with the chasna. She said that there were 200 responses from the emails, 200. And they're still upset with her because she had to say, I don't need you. And these ladies are coming. Each one of them has a bigger pool than the next one. And the whole night was shining with the Kedusha of Am Yisrael and the presence of the Rabbanu Shalom and how the music was, even the most choshev musicians came as a toiva. It was just, you can't plan a chasen like that because the shutuf was so much a part of it. The big shutuf was so much a part of it. There are other factors that, but the feeling of it being a chasna that was with the kindness of Jews, and it was filled with Hashem's Baruch's Ratzon, and with a certain chain that comes with Jews being the people that were supposed to be. There was very bachain. There was such a chain. And here you could spend your whole Nadin and your whole Yerusha to make a wedding in the fanciest place in the world, and it's not bachain. You and I, we walk into weddings, we walk out of weddings. It's wonderful. I don't even remember sometimes who was this and what was there. Everything looks the exact same to me. They could have had from yesterday the same They could have, even now with the photographers, they tell them they could fix up the pictures. It could be from an old chasna. They just put the new chasna kala into the picture. That's not nafkim. Honestly, we go to the same seven halls, right? So what? Because this time they gave an extra thing by the smorgasbord. There was a carving. There wasn't a carving thing. Station. I don't remember. You don't remember who, what, where. They're all the same. And everybody is mice and effish to spend money. I know women don't like when I talk this way. It's not such a nice way. And my wife always says to me, that's not it. That's not the way it is. But, okay, this from a man's perspective. I understand it's very different by the ladies. But they notice and they pick up on different things. I don't know. But still, with all of that, and with all the nuances that all of you ladies are able to pick up on, because you have that chush, still, it doesn't have the same chen as a chasna like this chasna, where the rich ladies were cleaning up afterwards and putting out food, and it doesn't have the same chen. It's a certain chen. A chen of what? Of the shutuf, of the Bari Olam being invited to the chasna, and being very much a part and feeling him every single second at the chasna. You can't pay for that. That's not something you could order. You like an extra dosage of Hashem to be at the chas. So you get 12 musicians instead of 10. So there's going to be more Rabbani Shalom at the chasna because you have an extra two musicians. That's not how it works. It doesn't dafka have to be less musicians, although it probably helps. But more musicians is love dafka. How do you bring Rabbani Shalom to the chasna? Rabbani Shalom wants to be at the chasna. He wants to be at the simcha. But that's exactly what he's explaining. In order that this new home that's being established at the chasna, in order that that foundation should be strong, the foundation of this new home should be strong, it has to be illuminated with great light. Davka, when there are difficulties, like with this chasna kala, where they didn't have, neither family had any money. Davka, with the difficulties, when you realize that your own chelik is not going to make it, you can't do it. You're too poor. You don't have the ability to make this happen. Then what happens? And shach gavus adam shval ruma noshem, when the proud man is suddenly humbled, and you have to turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, Baruch Shalom, I can't do this. I can't afford this. I can't make this. I don't know how to have this. I don't know how to start the couple off. I don't know what to do for them. Next page, 5. Then at that moment, there's a very, very, very big behirus, a very, very clear and strong feeling of the nizgav Hashem levadai, that Hashem is Baruch, it's always Hashem, it's only Hashem, and it's only through Hashem is Baruch that such a thing can happen. V'nizgav Hashem levadai. Feeling and recognizing the presence of the Shechina. There is no greater way to prepare a Mishkan for Hashem, a Beis Hamikdash, a Jewish home, for Hashem that will be able to be L'dayre Dairis. So you might think that we had these difficulties by the chasna. Oh, it's chaval. And again, so there'll be a little bit of yeyush, and you'll be upset, but you'll figure, okay, look, gamza yavor, after the chasna will be okay. But that's not the point. Or to distract yourself with other things, that's not the point. The point is, in this need, in this difficulty, there's the opportunity to invite the shutuf, the Rebbein Shalom, to connect to the shutuf. Some years ago, when we were talking about the Indian of jealousy of kinnah. We're learning a mimer from Tzimei Zilberberg, and at that time I shared with you something that I heard from Tzimei, that there was a chasna taking place in Yerushalayim, and what happened was that Tzimei knows the families, and he said that what happened by the chasna is that the Kala and her family came to the wedding hall, and it turned out that the caterer made a mistake and he booked two weddings for the same night. This is like a nightmare. That, I don't know how many times this has happened in history. It probably didn't happen in the shtetl, but it happened sometimes, I guess, after the shtetl. So now, Rav Simei said that there was a girl there with her family, and they're getting ready for the chasna. And it turns out that booking of the one that was there earlier was a mistake. And the first one who booked the place was the kala that came afterwards, her family. So now, imagine this. Imagine it's the chasna. The chasna is in 2 hours. So imagine the emotions, the everything that's going on. Imagine. So Tzimei said that the second kala came when it was really their hall. It was theirs. They came, and the girl, and the first girl's there. There was a mistake in the kedus, whatever. And Rav Simei said that the second family, who really deserved it, that they decided on the spot with the kala and everybody, b'shum oifen, they're not going to fashter this girl's simcha, and they're already there and they're in, and we'll work it out. And Yerushalayim came to life, and they got a Beis Yaakov or something 2 blocks away, and this caterer and with the food, and both couples somehow they shared the two families with the food, and other people brought, I don't know, Simei didn't go through the whole thing, but they made a chasna a couple blocks away, the family who really, they were mevater. In other words, they let go. Now think, what could have been a taina to kill that other family? A taina to kill the caterer. To kill, mamish to kill. So the chasna took place, what Simei said, in this way of vitur, of letting go, of chesed and rachamim. And Simei said that when you meet that mother, the one she's now, the kala, now she's a mother, it's a year or two later, and she's going with a stroller someplace, and she's walking on the street in Yerushalayim, and you see that baby in the stroller. So Rav Simei says that baby is filled, is saturated with the good sky of that mother and of that family, and has an edge over every other stroller, every other kid in Yerushalayim. The child is filled with the good sky, is filled with the Baruch Shalom. Now that moment when it happened, it could have been such a different ending to that. But that second family who it really belonged to, they used that as an opportunity to connect to the big shutuf. And the big shutuf was brought into the chasna. And because he was born into the chasna, 2 blocks away in the Beis Yaakov, but he was brought into the chasna. So now Rav Simei is saying that this family that was mevater, that gave in, that this family has an unbelievable kedusha that's been poured into this chasna, into this child, into this family. That's not for one night. What's a chasna? Chasna is one night. This is for doirei doiris. This is now going to be for generations and generations. The kedusha of that chasna, the kedusha of being mevata, of saying it's okay, and not making the other girl feel bad. The kedusha of that vitur. Of like what they say from the Divrei Chaim and his youngest daughter. I'm not going to tell you, you know, this is a whole story, but when the Divrei Chaim's youngest daughter was married, and the Bavli Rebbe told over this story, when the Divrei Chaim's youngest daughter was married, whatever happened that night, how it happened, I don't know, but she was a princess of a girl, and the chasna, and she was supposed to get married that night, and you understand the whole Sanz was coming, not just Sanz, they were coming from all over Poland and Galicia to come to the chasna, Sanz was youngest daughter, and what happened was that the Divrei Chaim, it was supposed to already go to the chuppah. The Divrei Chaim couldn't go to the chuppah. It was taking a long time. It's a famous story. The Divrei Chaim couldn't go to the chuppah. And everybody's waiting. They don't know. Why is the Rebbe not going? So then the Divrei Chaim says, there's a girl here, there's somebody here who's crying. And not from happiness. And they went and they looked and they found there was a girl crying. And the Divrei Chaim said to bring her over this girl, what is this? You know this Maisa? They bring over the girl, and the Divrei Chaim asked, why are you crying? What's the matter? It's a simcha. So this girl said that she's supposed to get married also. She's a very, very poor girl. She's supposed to get married that night, and she doesn't, I don't know that. I'm not sure exactly the story, how the Metzias was, but she's supposed to get married, and she's just looking at the kala in such a beautiful gown, and that she doesn't have anything. She has only her shmatas. So the Vichaim called over his daughter and said to her, "No, you could, I'm not asking, I'm not telling you that you have to do this. It's up to you." And his daughter, Sandra's daughter, went into the room and changed clothing and gave the poor girl her beautiful, beautiful wedding gown. And she marched down to the chuppah. The Sandra's daughter marched down to the chuppah. Again, I don't know why, how it had to be that way. But the Sandra's daughter went to the chuppah in the shmatis. And the Chassidim said, the Baba Rabbi said, that the Divichaim said that you could have been wearing your own gown, but now you're wearing Levushai Tzedakah. Hashem has clothing, and it's called Tzedakah. Levushai Tzedakah, you're wearing Hashem's gown. And the Chassidim said that they always knew that she was beautiful, but they never ever saw, they never realized how beautiful she was until that night, when she was wearing the shmatas under the chuppah. So what made her so beautiful that night? Because she was wearing Hashem's Baruch's wedding gown. Hashem's Baruch was invited to the chasen. Think of how many times we could invite Hashem's Baruch into our inyanim that are going hard, and we have difficulties, or we have something that's unpleasant, and how we could bring Hashem's Baruch into that, and instead of using it, instead of it becoming a negative time in life, we use it as an opportunity to turn to Hashem's Baruch and to bring Him in. And if we bring Him in at that moment, everything becomes lichtig, everything becomes Hashem's. Everything is Hashem's. Everything is the Baruch Shalom's. Not mine, it's the Baruch Shalom's. And instead of it being a negative tragedy or misfortune, it's shining with that or with that light of the Baruch Shalom, of Levushai Tzedakah, of Hashem Baruch's wedding gown that she was wearing. That's what it means to change, to take that Yeyush and to use it as an opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Mitzvah, next Monday night we'll finish the Maimon.